This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
After the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Fun day yesterday. Normally, we would have a Monday jam-packed of reaction to the weekend of football that was, but we had a fun time. We were out at the University of Northern Colorado talking to players from a lot of different sports, as they got a big week, busy week. It's crossover week as basketball kind of tips off. The UNC Bears men's basketball and then women's basketball team will start up next week. But it was fun to be out there. But we're back. And Michael, let's just get right to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the last 24 hours plus, kind of bleeding into the weekend, too. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good. Let's just get right to it. Broncos, 44-24 over the Dallas Cowboys. They are 6-2, 4-0 at home. And yes, the Cowboys' defense is bad, but you did what you had to do against a bad defense. You scored 44 points and an offense that was the best offense in the league. You held to 24 points, and one of those was kind of a garbage touchdown at the end when you started to bring in your bench players. So, well done. 6-2. Not
a
bad start.
48. And that touchdown not been dropped.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll take 44-24. It's fine. The bad, CSU. I tweeted about the border war and how I just wasn't excited for that. And listen, I get it. If you're a diehard, I saw our boy, like poor Justin Michael with DNVR Rams. I mean, he looked like he was in tears after that game. I wasn't getting emotional about it. I didn't go to those schools. I don't get emotional even with UNC loses. I don't have emotion anymore, Mike. But the border war was boring. Not for the Cowboys, though. 28-0 over CSU. We'll get into that a little bit later on. The Rams are off this week. They have a bye. Where I just kind of go, come on, can we just get it over with? Let's just get it done. Let's get the season over with here. The ugly Patrick Surtain, Mike. Yeesh. Gonna go on injured reserve out for what? At least 4 weeks? With the pectoral strain. He was banged up early and then got banged up again. That was rough. So, spooky situation for the Broncos, but not a spooky October for Sean Payton. He's done it again, Mike. Had a 500 September, kind of what he does in his career, and a perfect October. Undefeated in the month of October. Now we turn the calendar to November, as they will take on the Houston Texans on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. We will have that game for you right here on 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Big Hub chiming in to get us started on this Tuesday morning. Disgusting weekend for CSU and CU, but 0 points, Brady. That's got to be like an all-time low. I never lost a game with no points scored. Listen, guys, I asked the question, and I, you know, on Rocky Mountain College kickoff on Friday, that airs 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock every Friday. We get you set for a busy weekend. And all I said was, if the boot means so much to the Rams, which by all accounts, I believe it does, was firing Jay Norvell ahead of the border war a good decision? I don't disagree with firing Jay Norvell. That was going to happen. And I heard Tanner going off this morning, well, what if you win the border war, and then you win, you give false hope, and then they keep him? It's not going to happen. They're not going to beat UNLV. They're not going to beat Boise State. They probably wouldn't have beat Wyoming even with Jay Norvell. But if you really wanted the boot, who gives you a better chance to win? The guy who installed a game plan months ago, and you follow that, or you go with Tyson Summers, who they just hired as the defensive coordinator, who made a change at play caller for the third time, the Rams for the third time this year. I wouldn't have gone that route if I really wanted to win the boot. And I don't care if Jay Norvell would have pulled off the win against Wyoming and then they rattled off another one. I don't care what the fans say. If you've already made up your decision, then it doesn't matter what you do against Wyoming, and it doesn't matter what you do against UNLV or Boise State or Air Force. You've made your decision. I just felt like if you wanted to keep the boot in your last game in the Mountain West against the Wyoming Cowboys, you should have kept Jay Norvell there. So I disagreed with the decision to do so at the time. But I was ready after the Washington State game. It certainly seemed like it was time to move on from Jay. Right. Big Hub says, who the hell switches OCs the week before a rivalry? I don't know why Matt Mummy wasn't calling the plays. I don't know why you go and everything I was told from Kevin Lytle at the Colorado one was that the practice felt different. Like everything about what they were doing felt completely different. I don't know why you do that ahead of your biggest rivalry game. So I had an issue with that. It's not the end of the world. You didn't win the boot, though. Wyoming takes the boot in the last game as Mountain West rivals. Michael.
This is it's going to be hard for them to hire a coach. I just don't know how they hire a decent coach.
Is it not an attractive job?
I mean, they've got a nice stadium. They have a nice stadium. But how can they – can they get the money – To hire someone. I mean, this is embarrassing. That was an embarrassing game. And boy, was I wrong. I thought, oh, you're getting a new head coach, an interim head coach. This is going to surprise Wyoming. Yeah, Wyoming is a good defense, but they're not going to see what this head coach is doing. Wow. That was terrible.
Yeah, this is what I thought was going to happen. I didn't see 28-0, but I thought Wyoming would easily cover the 4.5. Because I'm not in that world of, oh, get rid of your coach, the guy that was not hired to be the head coach. It's kind of like my take on the quarterback situation. He wasn't the plan. So telling me that this team is better by removing Jay Norvell than they were a week ago, I wouldn't hear it. And that obviously, you know, that side of it came to fruition. They were worse. That was their worst performance of the season against a Wyoming offense that doesn't score a lot of points. And they scored 28. And your offense couldn't do anything. Would they have like 60 yards in the first half? It was awful. So I don't know why you make that move. Aaron texting in, I was at the New Mexico-Utah State game this weekend. Jay Norvell or not, I think it's going to be a tough game for them down in New Mexico in a couple of weeks. I think every game is going to be a tough game for them the rest of the road. It's not going to get any easier. But, you know, some Rams fans just wanted to get Jay Norvell gone so they don't have to think about it. We don't have to talk about it anymore. Whatever. Get a head start on your pursuit. I don't know, Mike, that the loss makes this job any less desirable than it was before the Wyoming loss. The question is, you know, can you get, likely they're going to try to make some sort of a splash. I don't know how big of a name they're going to try to push for. I don't know how big of a name they can actually get. You got to find that sweet spot of, you know, obviously you got fired coaches in the Power Four. You've got a lot of up-and-comers in the coordinator game. But how do they fix this? Because it's just not been good. You know, whether it's Bobo, Adazio, or Jay Norvell, the ceiling seems to be about 7 or eight, and I know Jay won eight, but if we're being realistic and saying if it's a normal schedule, you're not dealing with all the new coaching hires that came to the Mountain West last year, plus you didn't have to play Boise State, you didn't have to play UNLV. If you're not dealing with that, you probably were going to be about a six-win team. If Boise State would have replaced one of those wins and UNLV would have replaced one of those wins, you'd probably be about a six- or seven-win team. That is the ceiling right now. McElwain had the special year where I think he won 10, but outside of that, winning 7-8 seems about where the Rams live on a good year. How do you change that? What do you look for in a head coach? I mean, was the hiring of Jay Norvell a bad decision? No. I mean, if we could do it all over again, not knowing exactly how this year would finish, it was still an exciting hire. He was building with Nevada, and they didn't have anything. They didn't have the resources. They don't have the shiny stadium like CSU. They're not 40 minutes away from Denver, which is a selling point. So it all made sense, and Jay Norvell was the complete opposite of Addazio. The problem is Norvell got worse as a head coach. We like to think that you're a head coach, and this is who you are. We always talk about players getting worse as the season goes on or as their career goes on. Can coaches get worse? Yes. Jay Norvell just was making the bad decisions in game, off the field, pretty much at every turn. I think you have to get a guy. See, you know what I'd like to see? I don't want to have the play calling conversation. I think I would rather a head coach that's just a head coach. He's not a play caller. So hiring a coordinator might be difficult on that side, because if you hire a DC, then you know obviously he's going to be coordinating and maybe calling the defensive plays. Then he's going to hire somebody to run the offense. Not that this has proven it works, because the Buffs are in a bad spot right now. That was an ugly game. They lost to Utah big time to a backup quarterback. The spread was 13.5. They easily covered that. 3-1 in the picks this week, Mike. You're welcome. But you got lost in all of the confusion, ego that comes with a head coach that is also the play caller. That can be difficult at times. If it's good, it's fine. Like Sean Payton right now, pressure's off. No one's asking about him relinquishing his play calling duties after you put up 44 against the Dallas Cowboys, and you scored 33 in a fourth quarter against the Giants. So when it works, fine. But when it doesn't work, you wonder, all right, there's just too much going on in game. So I can go back to where I thought this, and I got a lot of texts coming in. This went south. The Clay Millen thing to me was the beginning of the end. And then the Braden Fowler Nicolosi, how he handled that was part of it. Then you were confused in the offseason about who's going to be calling plays. At one point, we actually saw a report that Matt Mummy was going to take over. And then it was, no, he's just going to be elevated to pass game coordinator. I don't want to mess with that kind of stuff. I don't want a pass game coordinator and a run game coordinator. I want an offensive coordinator. I don't want to do clunky things and make up and try to rewrite the rule book or rewrite the book of how to do it. Mysterio texting in, all the good kids are going where the money is. Wherever they can get paid is where they want to go. If you don't have a huge NIL budget, it's going to be hard to get talent. John Weber says the goal is to hit that threshold. What is it, the $20 million a year? That's the goal at CSU. That's what you have to do. You got to get out and earn, whatever that looks like. So they've probably ramped up their efforts to get people involved, new donors, get more dollars, get more advertisers, or whatever that looks like. But you gotta build that up. You're in the sales game. That's how you do it. Can you sell? I mean, it's a business question. Can you sell? First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Big Hub says, Micah, coaches that want a head coaching job wouldn't care much about a crazy amount of money unless it's a bottom feeder team, which we are not, year-round at least. I think it's a desirable job depending on what grade of coach you want to go get. You're not getting Franklin. If Gundy bought into the NIL world, he might not even have been fired. So I don't think you're going that route either. Texter from the 970. Isn't Norvell the highest paid coach in the Mountain West? Of course the job is attractive. Coaches aren't attracted by the current roster. They're going to bring their own guys in. Yeah, I don't think the loss did anything because you're looking at it saying, I'm cleaning house anyway. I'm going to go get my guys. We'll figure out who's good enough to try to keep, like Owen Long and the running backs. Jackson Warren, if he could stay healthy. 970 texting, and also Wyoming switched their OC before the border war, and it worked just fine for them. Yeah, they needed to. They also caught up with a CSU defense that's not very good. It does sometimes work. It sometimes works. But the fact that CSU was on their third play caller doesn't bode well for me. Texter here from the 970. Hey, Brady. Hey, Micah and Brady. How lucky are we at the University of Northern Colorado to have Coach Lamb as our head football coach? Yeah, very lucky. I think he's a very good coach.
How the tables have turned in Northern Colorado.
Why? Because Ed Lamb is like...
Because Northern Colorado has a coach who's doing well. Yes, their record's not great, but UNC's on the rise, and CU and CSU are seeming to go downhill.
CU's got issues. CU's got issues. That was a bad loss coming off of a bye.
That was a horrible loss. I got home to watch the last six. I didn't have a chance to watch any football this Saturday. And I got home, finally saw some scores, go Dogs. And I saw the last 6 minutes of CU, and I'm like, dear God, what the hell happened? Like, who all got injured?
It was bad.
I mean, I thought CU would cover. They'd been playing decently.
I did not, Mike. This is why you listen to me, okay? If I wasn't me, I would listen to me. But I listen to me. I went 3-1. You're welcome. Barely lost the UNC one. Glad I did. Glad they covered. Good for them.
Did UNC cover?
They did. I just said that. Literally just said it.
Okay. I was paying attention to my awful predictions in CU and CSU.
Eastside Chris says, Brady is the likes of Kelly, etc., who get paid recently large buyouts, want to rethink and go to smaller schools, less NIL, and port tunnel, and transfer portal tunnel, BS. Not guys like him. Not Brian Kelly. Mike Gundy, maybe, but I'm not in a hurry to hire Mike Gundy because I don't think he subscribes to the new way of college football. I like Mike Gundy. I like the idea, but then I think back to all of his comments about NIL and transfer portal, and you can't do that. Aaron texting in, I think CSU should go for an up-and-coming coach as their next head coach instead of just another FBS retread. There's definitely the risk, but I think a little bit of unknown brings the excitement back. I kind of like the idea of a head coach that's more of a manager of the game, and you just hire good people around you. You hire offensive coordinators. You hire defensive coordinators. You hire guys that are going to call those plays for you, and you can focus on the in-game decisions. Mysterio, bring back Joe Glenn to CSU. Don't you want to go with somebody that you can grow with? A younger coach that you can grow with? Jay Norvell is not a younger coach. When they hired him, he wasn't a younger coach. He looks young. Good for him. But get somebody you can grow with. And I don't know who that name is. I know Rams fans are throwing out 4 million names. You got a ton of names. Whoever it is, does it not feel like a crapshoot, Mike? Maybe it's going to work, maybe not. Can you recruit well? Can you get a guy that also did the Jay Norvell stuff off the field? He was very good at doing the community thing. Steve Adazio, not so much. Mike Bobo was probably in the middle somewhere.
What's the most important thing for this CSU?
Raising money.
Like, of all the attributes you want in a coach.
Raising money.
What is the most important thing to me, other than wins?
Well, yeah.
Like, it's
raising
recruiting.
Money. Raising money to get better recruits. To get guys in the transfer portal. To not miss out on any potential 5 stars. If there are any in the state of Colorado. You get all those. You get them over CU. because you have the money. If John Weber can do this and get to the $20 million threshold, and that is partly because he brought in a great coach that could do that, whether it's a big name or just a guy that makes you believe, like Ed Lamb. Ed Lamb is not raising money, by the way. Ed Lamb is not out there asking for money. He is just believable. People love that. They're buying it. If you could get an Ed Lamb, his attitude, but a little more aggression in raising money, then you would have it spot on. But I don't know that Ed really subscribes to that game either.
I think Ed is just a completely different coach. I don't think he survives in the FBS.
I don't know. I think you guys are pouring it in.
Exactly where he needs to be in the FCS.
Texter here from 970. No regrets on the Norvell hire. A culture change was needed, but I think we learned that his success at Nevada was more about Carson Strong than anything else. He desperately wanted BFN to be that guy, but he just never found that quarterback. Here's what you don't do. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's what Jay did with Braden Fowler Nicolosi. He pulled Clay Millen too fast, and he let BFN go too long. You don't get married to a quarterback. They should have made the change to Jackson Brissot probably after the UNC game. If you're going to pull the trigger fast like you did on Clay, then you got to do that with the other quarterback. You can't just be locked in because you went out on a limb and said, oh, guys are poaching my guy here. That set you up for failure. That turned out to be a bad move. That was probably the real beginning of the end for Jay Norvell, and I thought it was weird at the time.
And on the opposite side of the treatment of quarterbacks, you can't just suddenly put in a quarterback and then take him out and then put in a quarterback and then take him out and then put in three quarterbacks in one freaking game.
Yeah, you can't.
This isn't the 90s or early 2000s anymore when they were doing that at Florida.
The Weld County Swami says, you're not growing with anyone because they will be poached, but that's okay. Make your university desirable. I'd rather their coaches get poached like Jim McElwain. If that's your biggest problem, that means you're winning. Can they grow with somebody? I saw Sean Keeler did a story about the Rams don't need a Deion Sanders. They need a Nico Medved. That is a crapshoot, though. How do you get that guy? How do you get a Kubiak, Klein, these younger coordinators to come in, and they just want to be here, like Nico, and they only leave because they get to the perfect job, which for Nico, it was going back home to Minnesota. How do you find that guy? You got to get lucky. Did everybody predict Nico Medved when he was at Drake is going to come in and go to, what did they go to, they went to three NCAA tournaments in 4 years? Did anybody predict that? They thought he'd be a good coach. No, you didn't. You didn't even know how to spell Nico Medved, Mike.
Everybody said
I heard this guy's name a lot. Go get my guy Casey Keeler from Temple. He's old, though. Old doesn't matter if you can buy into the new way of life. If you can do that. Old typically doesn't always mean that you can, but some do. Mysterio, winning brings recruits. Winning also brings money, which also brings success. Well, you can't win. Chicken or the egg, man. If you can get a guy that had Jay Norvell's personality, his ability to go out and shake hands and kiss babies and do all of that, but also knows his stuff and can recruit, then you're looking for that guy in your interview process. That's who you're looking for. Hey, are you comfortable going out? Steve Adazio, you could sit down with him. My guess is if you were like, hey, we got to raise money around here. Our goal is to get to the $20 million threshold. I could see Steve Adazio be like, my goal is to win football games. I don't care about all that other stuff. We're just in it here. We're this close. We got to win football games. You can't get that guy. You cannot get that guy that's like, I'm all about on the field. That sounds good in the movies. That sounded good 10 years ago. But you need a guy that says, yeah, I'm willing to do what it takes to get to that side of it so that we can get these big name recruits.
And you need a guy who admits openly, I don't know everything, but I'm going to get people who are going to help me.
I'm going to hire a damn good OC, and then he's going to get poached because he's so good, and then I'm going to hire another one. We're going to have a theme. We're going to have a philosophy here, and this coach will follow that philosophy, but he's going to call plays. I like having a manager-type coach on the field. Eastside Chris says, CU has proven celebrities as coaches. Warren Sapp, etc., don't work. However, the coffers show profit. That's the thing. Deion Sanders could recruit because of his name. When does that start to wear off? You're already seeing interesting names on the social medias that are not playing, not going to fulfill their trip to visit CU. They're backing out because losses like that, they wear the shine off. The celebrity goes away when you start to lose. We always asked, how long would it last for Deion Sanders? Losses like the Utah game start to make big-time recruits look at, like, Juju Lewis, who's on this team right now. Do you think he's having second thoughts? His career hasn't even started, really. Is he gonna stay there with Coach Prime when it seems like it's getting worse? A lot to unpack today. Broncos win over the Cowboys. That was huge. Is this offense, did that fourth quarter against the Giants wake something up? And is there a different Joker on this team than we first thought? Let's get to that. 31 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Bears turn it around. Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes, sir. Not a follower, fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer, take a number, I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
A lot of thunder going on
thunder.
In Denver over the weekend. What? By the way, can I just say the obvious? Broncos, please go to those uniforms.
Yes.
Who disagrees with that? Does anybody disagree with that?
People who are wrong.
It's so sharp, man. It is the old school logo, but a certain brightness to that orange and blue that we didn't have in the early 90s and beyond that, before that. Like, that's the one thing that's a tune we can all dance to. Go back with the old school look, but that brighter color, it's so good, man.
Every time I see that logo, every time I see those uniforms, I cry just a little bit.
It makes me happy to see
tears of joy.
Yeah, 100%, Mike. Texter from the 970, I know the buck ended with Norvell, but who was responsible for developing BFN? That guy showed zero improvement over 3 years. He may have even regressed. He did regress. Well, that's on Jay and that's on Matt Mummy, right? Jay Norvell he wrote the book on wide receivers, but that's your job. He's got to find somebody to do that. And it's probably, and I like Matt Mummy a lot, but you can try to develop guys. It doesn't always mean you could have the best quarterback developer in the world. They don't take, BFN was, let's not get it twisted. That year when he stormed onto the scene during the CU game, he didn't light it up every single game. There wasn't he was putting yards up, but it wasn't like he was really good that first year. And then last year was back and forth.
Was it him or was it those really great targets that he had?
Yeah, you had Torrey Horton, you had Dallin Holker, you had an elite wide receiver and an elite tight end at that level for 1 year.
And then what happened?
And then what happened? Your elite tight end this year was supposed to be Jackson Warren, and he's been hurt. And you don't have an elite wide receiver. One good elite wide receiver, Michael, can change things for you. It opens up other guys on the field. He's going to go do all the one-on-one stuff. But, I'm looking back to the 2023 year? Yeah, he had some monster games. He threw for 367 yards against CU. 321 against Middle Tennessee, 462 against Utah Tech. He was putting up big numbers. And did he regress? It did. Yeah, he probably did, because I didn't see as much of the back foot stuff as I did this year, for sure. He got worse. I smarter guys than I would know what it would take to develop a quarterback. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm a smarter guy.
You're one of those guys. Yeah, so I don't know. That it would be on Jay Norvell and Matt Mumme. They couldn't develop BFN. But maybe BFN hit his ceiling, and you get pressure on the guy, and you know he's gonna crumble. So that's the game plan going against him. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So Patrick Surtain is out for the foreseeable future, at least 4 weeks, right? So can the Broncos survive that? This is a great defense, even without Patrick Surtain. And a lot has been made about Riley Moss. I think Riley Moss has actually been pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah, he has.
Yeah. And you see Jaquan McMillan coming in. Jade Barron got a pick.
That was awesome.
That was a nice interception.
I don't know why that pass was thrown. Like, why'd you throw that pass?
Yeah.
Your tight end was covered.
Dak Prescott did not look great against this Broncos defense. Chris Abrams drained. Like, those guys will be asked to step up. Maybe this evens out for Riley Moss, though. He's not going to see as many targets. Like, that will slow down for him. And maybe Riley Moss gets an interception or something like that, turns the game around against the Texans.
You know, they say, oh, Riley Moss is getting all these penalties. You know what?
Some of them.
Those penalties.
They're looking for him. They're looking for it now, the refs.
Exactly.
Are. Yeah.
They're not real penalties, because the ticky-tack stuff, they're going to call on him. Because they're like, oh, he touched him, kind of.
Yeah.
That's a penalty. Well, any other cornerback is not going to get called for that, because they don't have those flags.
He's doing so many of the right things, too. He's turning his body. He's turning his head, looking at the ball, and then they're throwing those flags. That bogus one against the Giants, I still can't get over that one. But I think the refs are picking on him, man. They're treating him like a defensive end going up against a star quarterback. Like, they're just looking for the flags. They're assuming that he's committing all these penalties. It's ridiculous.
But, sounds like something Texas El Paso should look into.
So the Broncos are going to have to figure out how to move on for a few weeks without Patrick Surtain. The good news, I guess, is they have three games, Mike, and then the bye. So this game against Houston's pretty important, because if you can get this one, then I believe you'll get your eighth win against Las Vegas at home, and you could potentially be 8-2. Before you go up against the Kansas City Chiefs on November 16th, and then you have your bye.
So, do you agree with me that without Patrick, we're still certainly going to be fine?
I was almost going to tell you this morning, I'm not in the mood for any puns. I forgot to tell you that, and away you went. Let's be real here. We got a 6-2 football team. There's no need to make fun and joke and be cute, Mike. We got a 6-2 Denver Broncos football team that I think we're about ready to say is a real contender here. I think they're going to win the next three games, even without Patrick Surtain. I saw something. I know it's the Dallas Cowboys offense, but you put up 33 against the Giants. Very unlikely situation. That could have gone one of two ways. You could have said, oh, we're that good, we can turn it on any time. Or you can stop screwing around and go get after it early. Now, Sean Payton was in the lab over the weekend, man. I mean, he basically, you know, Denver Post, I was reading this morning, stitched together 11 plays that they repped throughout the week that Peyton felt could go for touchdowns. And they were having fun with this. They basically, all the guys that were designed to get these touchdowns, they would kind of make them recite their school song. So they were having fun with this, the guys that were destined to get in the end zone. That's kind of outside the box, kind of creative stuff. And a lot of guys were scoring touchdowns. You had R.J. Harvey get those two TDs. R.J. Harvey had the two rushing touchdowns, but also had a receiving touchdown. Troy Franklin got in the end zone twice, and then Pat Bryant. Here's the thing. I don't know that this offense looks a hell of a lot different, Mike. I think Bo Nix is just connecting on a few of those. If he connected on a few of those throughout the Colts game and the Chargers game, they might have ran away with that. Their offense might have looked a lot better. You're extending drives, you're adding more plays. Bo Nix might might be finally settling down. His feet look better back there. That's exciting to see. And when you put up a big game like that against a bad defense, I don't care. You still scored 44. It's hard to score 44 against anybody in the NFL. And they did it. 43 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. I did not stay up and watch the World Series last night. I should have, though. It sounds like it was a great game. Did you catch that, Mike? I just sneezed.
I wanted everyone to hear it.
Did you get it? Did you drop it?
No. Okay. I wanted everyone to hear it.
Well, we used to have these mic. I could feel it coming on. Like, as soon as you pointed to me, I was like, I have to sneeze. And that's, you can't control that, Mike. No,
I
no, East Side Chris. Love Micah's puns. I think he should get a performance bonus for each one, say something like $25. No, I think you should actually pay us. I think you should have a jar back there, like a swear jar. But every time you make a pun, you put a dollar in it. What do you think?
That might slow it down. I think you should pay me.
No. I don't like them. I don't enjoy them. What I did enjoy was watching the Nuggets win last night. Nuggets are 2-1. There was a moment in that game last night where it kind of felt like a Malone team. I think it was in the second quarter. It just didn't. They looked clunky. They looked out of position. They looked confused defensively. And then they made some adjustments at the half, apparently, and outscored Minnesota 45-29 in the third. And for entertainment purposes only, I am undefeated in my player props. The Mafia did not get a hold of my guys. My picks are way too important for the Mafia to touch, okay? Jamal Murray, I said, would go over 21. Someone actually went at me and said, he's only did that 2 out of 10 times against Minnesota. Well, they didn't have Ant-Man last night, and I just had a feeling Jamal Murray's different. Jamal Murray hit 43.
So, well, guess what?
Easy money, Mike. Easy money in your pocket for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah. Well, that guy's an idiot because he didn't listen to your nugget of truth.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, appreciate that. Joker with another triple-double. 25 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists. Screw it, man. He's top five of all time. The guy doesn't even break a sweat. He doesn't even look MVP form right now. And he's throwing out triple-doubles left and right. 11:50 the time. We'll get into some more Nugget stuff. Broncos. We got Mike Brohard joining us. I'm going to talk to him a little bit about basketball. Let's talk about CSU basketball and Ali Faruk Manesh's start to his career as a head coach. How excited are you, Rams fans? Let's turn the page a bit. I am so excited. Love Ali. We'll be right back.
One is a trickster. One is a treat. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I need the dollar.
That dollar maybe was Christian Brown. I don't know if he needed it, but how do we feel about Brown since signing that contract extension? Just a couple of games in. He had 7 points last night, 3 of 9. Just something to watch out for. That was one of my big questions for the Nuggets as we head into the season is, can we see that evolution of Christian Brown in year four? Year three? This is year four? Yeah, year four. Wow. Time flies when you're having fun, Mike.
Well, it's early in the season.
It's early. Faith says, I knew he was going to throw a pun in right there. Well played. Sad I didn't get to see my friend the other day. Had a pun for him. Have since forgotten it, though. That's age for you. Yeah, Faith came by. She brought candy. And we actually got pizza
on Friday, too.
We got pizza on Friday. Can you believe that? The day you were out, we actually got pizza.
Can we have pizza this Friday?
Oh,
I'm
no.
going to be in.
I don't know, man. I don't
6
know.
6 a.m. to midnight.
You're doing a great. You're doing a good job. Top stories of the day coming up next. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.